Today, President Trump is presenting his first national security strategy. In it, he's outlining his goals for U.S. foreign policy and for the military. Details of the plan came out yesterday. The plan is built on four pillars: protecting the homeland, promoting prosperity, achieving peace through strength, and advancing American influence. Paul McCleary is senior reporter for foreign policy. Paul, let's start with China and Russia. The plan would reframe them as adversaries and not as partners of the U.S. With Russia, the president has not been really inclined to identify the country as an adversary. So why should that change under this plan?
It really won't so much. I mean, this strategy seems more focused on the Chinese threat, particularly Chinese companies, government-run companies investing in Silicon Valley, stealing intellectual property from American companies, the Chinese movement into the South China Sea. When administration officials have been asked about Russian meddling in the election and Russian influence operations, they're a little more cagey, so they'll be less focused there. Other than some very broad brush attempts to, you know, say the Russians are operating in the gray zone and we need to counter that. But this is more of a China-focused policy than a Russian-focused policy.
Then why do you think it mentions Russia at all?
I mean, Russia is a strategic adversary here, especially for our European allies. So Russia does have to be in there. China is more of an economic threat or competitor to the United States than Russia is. I mean, the Russian economy is based on oil, and the Chinese economy is based on tech and exports and manufacturing. So I think that's why we're seeing the focus on China more than Russia.
One of the pillars of the strategy is advancing American influence. How would that be done? For instance, when the president talks about North Korea or ISIS, for instance, or Iran, could we expect that under the rubric of advancing American influence that he is possibly talking about some kind of preemptive military strike against Iran or North Korea?
Well, they're definitely not ruling that out. There is no mention of preemption in the document. But there is a lot of talk about securing American interests, about not allowing potential adversaries to gain more influence over the United States. So administration officials have been have gone out of their way to say that they're not ruling preemption out, but they're also not making it a policy. So I think in a lot of ways, if you read between the lines there, you say the White House is holding its options open here while not trying to say that they won't preemptively strike a North Korea or an Iran in the future.
What, for you, is the most noteworthy element of this strategy?
I think from what we've seen so far, two things. One is the rejection of democracy, the promotion of democracy as a core pillar of American strategy. I mean, that has been what the U.S. diplomats and even military leaders have promoted for decades around the world, and that will no longer be part and parcel of what American officials are expected to do overseas in favor of focusing on economic ties, trade pacts, and kind of leaving local politics where they lay. The second one is climate change. Climate change is no longer being addressed as a threat to national security, which flies in the face of a few decades worth of Pentagon planning and comments by top military leaders that climate change is a direct threat to national security.
Why is that suddenly absent? I mean, we know how the president feels about climate change, but if his top military advisors are saying this is a national threat, why is he not picking up on that in this strategy plan?
Well, I think he's already laid down the gauntlet here by pulling out of the Paris Agreement. Administration officials have said that the policy, national security policy, follows the president's comments in June pulling the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accord. That said, Pentagon leaders can continue planning for climate change, continue planning for drought, rising sea levels, things like that, and stick it under different lines in the budget, you know, for infrastructure and things like that. So while it's no longer the American policy, it's likely that military leaders will continue to plan for these very real eventualities.
One final question. How much of a playbook is the national security strategy?
It's significant. It's going to influence the National Defense Strategy, which comes out next month, and two other critical strategy papers. One is nuclear strategy, and the other is the ballistic missile defense. So this is kind of the overarching strategy paper that will inform everything else. That said, things change year to year. The Pentagon has been operating relatively independently from the administration. I mean, they continue to push forward with various initiatives, kind of despite what the president has been tweeting and saying in speeches. So it'll have an effect, but we'll have to see in the coming months or years how much that actually translates and trickles down to day-to-day policy.
Paul McCleary, senior reporter for Foreign Policy. Thank you.
Thank you.